This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is part 7 of Rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle and is the foundation for the subject of wearing linen. Now, in part 6, we left off with the discussion that the witnesses in the book of Revelations were actually wearing sackcloth made of linen. Now, I know for those of us who have experienced linen, love its softness, have a hard time imagining that linen could be rough, except that we know that the heavier it is and the less the quality is, they're slubs and can maybe be a little rougher. But I think it's hard to imagine having experienced fine twined linen that has been spun and finished, that it could be so rough and aggravating and afflicting as to be sackcloth. Now, in the linen fiber, there are two parts of the flax plant. One is called the line with the long fibers, which is used to make long linen, fine twine spun linen. In Exodus chapter 35, where Yahweh and the scriptures talk about the wise and willing hearts, it is repeatedly mentioned that it's fine linen. In other words, it's nicely spun and finished. In fact, the word line comes from linen. It comes from or is derived from the use of a linen thread to determine a straight line. The word lining comes from linen. Often, linen was the lining for wool or leather clothing. Lingerie denotes underwear made of linen originally. Linoleum, the floor covering that is made from linseed oil and other materials. So this word linen or line is in our vocabulary in many areas that we don't even recognize. And so this part of the fiber called line is the fine, long fibers. The word linen is cognate with the Latin for the flax plant called linum, L-I-N-U-M. And earlier than that in the Greek, it was linen, L-I-N-O-N. There is another part of the linen that is called the tow, and this is sometimes a byproduct and or the shorter fibers of the flax plant. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says that tow, T-O-W, is the coarse, heavier linen. And in the 18th century, this coarse linen was used to make tow cloth, and this is also the root of towel or towel. T-O-W-E-L. And linen is stronger than cotton, which would explain why it would be used instead of cotton or other fibers to carry grains and your harvest fruits and vegetables, because it would be a sturdy fiber. It dries more quickly and is slower or more slowly affected by exposure to sunlight. You see, it was created to reflect light, which brings me to another interesting fact about linen. If you were to look at a cross-section of a flax stem to show its structure, it looks just like an eye with the pupil and the iris, and you can see the fibers. It's just like looking at a picture diagram of an eye. Very interesting when we think about the fact that it reflects light and what our eyes do with light and how it relates to the rainbow covenant. Now let's go back and address short and long fibers. If you knit and or work with, say, wool fibers, this is easier to understand. For instance, we have Icelandic sheep, which have two types of wool or fibers. They have the tog, which is longer and coarser and very nice and easier to spin because the fibers are longer and the fibers are strong. The thel, which is the undercoat of the Icelandic wool, is more like a soft, downy, soft fiber, but they're shorter. So in linen, we could produce a sackcloth, a burry cloth with the tow. And of course, a sackcloth was worn to be purposely afflicting, a physical feeling of humbling ourselves. You know, when we look at the Moedim, the appointments, the feasts, and the commandments that Yahweh gives us, most of them are outward physical rehearsals or reminders to our mind, our heart, our soul, and our spirit, but it's a physical outward demonstration of what Father is teaching or showing us on the inside. For homeschoolers, we would call this a hand-on or hands-on experience. And so a few years ago, Father laid it on my heart to afflict myself and wear sackcloth, particularly on Yom Kippur, because unlike some of our brothers who think you should wear white, I felt Father was impressing on me that the day of Yom Kippur is a day of repentance. It's a day of humbling yourself. It's a day of laying low and prostrating yourself before Yahweh, humbling yourself. And that song comes to mind, humble yourself in the sight of Yahweh, for he will lift you higher and higher. And so at the time, I was using Christian resources and references, and I was finding or thought that sackcloth was made out of goat's hair, which it could be. But remember, we discussed that Israelites would have carried their grains in plant fiber sackcloths and not animal fiber sackcloth. I did not have access or the funds to, or the time for that matter, to make goat's hair sackcloth. So what I did is I used burlap sack, feed sack. In fact, a lot of it was free, up to 50 cents a bag. And we went to the feed store and or we used some old feed sacks. And with the combination of we washed them and then we sewed just straight sackcloths to pull over and to wear so that we would spend the Erev, the afternoon to afternoon, evening, as it gets translated into the English. And I teach in other places that afternoon is actually more appropriate for the word evening. It's a mixture of light. That's a different topic, though. Anyway, we would wear this, and it would be itchy and scratchy, and it was a physical reminder that we needed to be praying, that we couldn't just relax and be comfortable and enjoy life during that 24 hours, but that we were actually fasting and had a physical outward reminder to tell us to, you know, be serious about this repentance and prayer situation. If you'd like to hear some about that, Posey Salem from SeekTheAncientPaths.com did a show on that last year, and I know several other people who decided to do the same thing. Now that I have had the blessing of having a sister from Yehuda and access to other information and documents, that sackcloth is actually made out of linen, and understanding that linen has two different types of fibers, the tow and the line, let us read an example of how afflicting a linen sackcloth could be. I'm going to read an excerpt to you from a book entitled Linen, From Flaxseed to Woven Cloth by Linda Heinrich. On page 74, there's an excerpt from the writings of Booker T. Washington, and this excerpt is entitled The Slave Shirt. And in the footnotes, it says, these documents are still at the Booker T. Washington Museum on display. The shirt was woven by the weavers in the Fireside Industries of Berea College in Kentucky. In plain weave, the shirt was woven of linen tow that had been roughly processed. Again, not finely spun or fine twined. The refuse flax for the weft was carded, and a heavy hand carded and hard spun yarn had to be used for the warp. The flax shirt can be seen at the Booker T. Washington National Monument, Route 3 in Hardy, Virginia. So let's read this. Recollections of the Slave Shirt. The most trying ordeal that I was forced to endure as a slave boy was the wearing of a flax shirt. In the portion of Virginia where I lived, it was common to use flax as part of the clothing for the slaves. That part of the flax from which our clothing was made was largely the refuse, which of course was the cheapest and roughest part. I can scarcely imagine any torture, except perhaps the pulling of a tooth, that is equal to that caused by putting on a new flax shirt for the first time. Just think about that. He is comparing wearing the rough flax linen shirt to having a tooth pulled. And in those days, they were not as comfortable as we are today in getting a tooth pulled. It is almost equal to the feeling that one would experience if he had a dozen or more chestnut burrs or 100 small pinpoints in contact with his flesh. Again, if you have ever knitted or worn alpaca fiber, it can feel soft, it can look soft, but until sometimes, this happened to me once, I put it on, I made a scarf out of alpaca fibers. It looked soft, it felt soft, but when I wore it, these tiny little guard hairs, is what they call them, would prick my face like tiny little needles. And that's because I wasn't educated enough at the time to check for guard hairs in my fiber. So when he says it's like pinpoints, I can only begin to imagine after having worn that hat or that scarf. Let's return to the excerpt. Even to this day, I can recall accurately the tortures that I underwent when putting on one of these garments. The fact that my flesh was soft and tender added to the pain. But I had no choice. I had to wear the flak shirt or none, and had it been left to me to choose, I should have chosen to wear no covering. In connection with the flak shirt, my brother John, who is several years older than I am, performed one of the most generous acts that I have ever heard of one slave relative doing for another. On several occasions when I was being forced to wear a new flak shirt, he generously agreed to put it on in my stead and wear it for several days, till it was broken in. Until I had grown to be quite a youth, this single garment was all that I wore. Booker T. Washington. We'll be back right after this short message.
Are you wearing your linens today? It is the fabric choice of Yahweh.
Have you wanted to start a Remnant Remedy chest and be prepared but didn't know where to start? Remnant Remedy has made it easy for you with our Remnant Remedy Chest Number 1, which is a basic first aid starter kit of 10 essential oils. When you purchase our 15 mil kits, you will receive one free additional oil and a free carrying case. Check out Remnant Remedy's Chest Number 1 by going to the Hebrew Nation Radio Store. Don't forget to download our free 40-page PDF mini reference guide to go along with your remedy chest. Remember, your purchase helps support your family's health and this radio station's ministry.
Come on, girl, give it a try. Don't forget your seed.
There's so much to say about the witnesses and linen and the days to come. And I hope to put most of that research in the book that I'm writing, Is Your Wedding Garment Ready? Also subtitled, Rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle. Let us go to a topic on the witnesses. And I would like to read to you from a book called Today's Technology and Bible Prophecy by Charles W. Miller. You can get this book at www.tip.org. That's TIP that stands for Technology and Prophecy. I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Miller, and he's very involved in health and nutrition, and he also deals in the field of electromagnetic frequencies. This is something that we would like to start carrying, and we are being trained on to be able to go in and test your home to see what kind of basically bad frequency is in your household and what kind of instruments or tools that you can purchase and get so that you are helping to protect your physical body and your home. Also getting into the geopathic rods, which you can put on your property, around your home or property, to help protect your home and person from some of the electrical magnetic fields, and also is reported to make your gardens grow better based on frequency. And you can Google this. Actually, there's quite a bit of research out there. And this has been known for quite some time. It's just now been resurfaced because back in the early 1900s, when doctors and individuals would speak about this or write about it, they were just considered, you know, basically crazy and not taken very seriously. But it's been found that in ancient Hebrew and or gardening or the way they did crops, they may have used stones and or metals to use the vibration or energy to increase and enhance their crops. In today's technology and Bible prophecy, Mr. Miller asks the question, were nuclear bombs, atomic submarines, and space satellites predicted centuries ago? Did we know in millenniums past the fate of Iraq, China, and Israel? Have we always known when the world would end? Mr. Miller answers these questions and more in this book. He explains how the Bible describes 20th century technology more than 2,500 years ago, and how the book of Zechariah is describing an atomic world war. He also goes on to explain that Yahweh is in control and that it will be a great time of witnessing. Now, this book is done from a Christian perspective without Hebrew mindsets or Torah perspective, but I believe you can learn a great deal from the book and just learn how to translate and or look at it from that perspective. Mr. Miller spent over 23 years working in the leading edge field of computer technology and studying with other scientists and engineers. But after work, he'd be studying prophecy in the scriptures and how it applied to the technology. So Father has given him an insight to technology, modern day things that are going on, which we can now see with the HEART program and chemtrails, nanotechnologies, and satellites, and electromagnetic frequencies, etc. On page 431 of the book, he describes the witnesses as being clothed in sackcloth. Quote, "One might wonder why the two witnesses will wear sackcloth. Sackcloth was a coarse cloth used for making sacks and rough garments in Bible days, commonly made from camel or goat hair." Now remember, we have discussed that yes, it could be camel or goat hair, but most likely it was linen, and that linen is used for sackcloth. We continue. "Garments made from this type of cloth were a symbol of mourning and were worn during times of grief and calamity. The witnesses may wear these traditional mourning clothes as an expression of grief over the atomic disaster brought on the earth by man's rebellion against God. On the other hand, they may wear some type of sturdy garments for more practical reasons, such as keeping radioactive fallout off their skin and for protection against the dramatic increase in ultraviolet radiation expected in the wake of global atomic war." Now, before we talk about just a few of the properties of linen, let's consider that the angels, or I prefer to say messengers, in the book of Revelations in chapter 16 that deal with the plagues are wearing pure linen. Revelations 15:6 says, "And the seven angels, or messengers, came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts skirted with golden girdles." We could even go into the study of what gold does with the electromagnetic field, but perhaps in the future we could cover that. Now, what I want to point out here is that as each one of these messengers or angels come to pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, that they have on linen. This is important to note when we look at the properties of linen. The first one goes out and it says, "He poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Now, many people are familiar with the sores in this passage, but have you ever stopped to think about what the noisome means in this passage? Noisome can refer to the putrefaction that plants or animals or humans can have, or the infectious substance that is floating in the air as fine particles. So it says here that there fell these fine particles, or the putrefaction that comes out of plants, animals, or people, and there are grievous sores upon them. Now, the word grievous can mean hurtful or evil or degeneracy or disease. Also, the fourth angel, when he pours out the vial, it is upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Remember, we're talking about scorching, burning with fire or light or frequency or energy. In Revelation 16:9, it says the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, or Yahweh, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not. And in verse 11, it says they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And again, they did not repent. Now, note again, these angels or messengers are wearing white linen. And in Revelation chapter 16:15, it says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now, this word "keepeth" on your garments is to guard or to watch. It can imply a fortress or to fulfill a command. And we know that the righteousness or the statute or ordinance of the saints in Revelations is that they wear white linen. And could it be here that it's indicating that this garment is protecting or helping to escape or preventing the destruction on the people? Also note here that it says, "keepeth the garments, lest he walk naked." Remember in Hosea, where it was prophesied that the shemen, the essential oils, and the linen or the flax would be taken away from Yahweh's people? Remember, it was in Hosea chapter 2, verse 9, "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flax that was given to cover her nakedness. So he specifies here that wool or flax covers his people's nakedness. And yet in Revelations, he's telling them, be careful and watch your garment. Makes you want to consider and wonder when we look at Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 8 and 14. And it shall come to pass in the yom or day of Yahuwah's sacrifice that it will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange, foreign, or disastrous apparel or garments. That word strange can be foreign or disastrous, and of course apparel's their garments. This means that whatever that strange apparel is, or garments, that it is disastrous for them. Also, remember in the previous shows, we talked about the fact that yom or day is light. It is not night. And the yom or day consists of the boker morning and the afternoon arev. And together, echad, as a multiplicity of one, they come in union to create the day portion or the light portion. And the hosek or chaos and darkness becomes the night. And the night is not the day. You can find this principle from Genesis through Revelations. So if light is day and night has no fellowship with darkness or night, then when we talk about the day of the Lord, or the day or Yom of Yahuwah, what are we talking about? We are talking about the light of Yahuwah. And in the coming judgment, he is using light, fire, and energy to judge the nations. Is it possible that Yahweh is telling us that when we come into his presence, just like in the Mishkan, the priest or the Kohen needed that white linen garment on so they would not be consumed and sweat and be electrocuted by the Ark of the Covenant? And there's a parallel here that when he comes to judge with his light, his life, his energy, that his people would be protected in his presence by having on the white linen. Zephaniah 1:14, the great Yom or day of Yahuwah is near. It's near and it hasteth greatly. And even the coal or the voice of the day of Yahuwah, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now, this voice of his, okay, it says the great Yom or day of Yahuwah is near. And the voice of the day of Yahuwah is there. And that word voice is kol in the Hebrew. Remember, we talked in previous shows also that kol can be light, sun, secured, going forward. The word in the Hebrew has a kuf, which is a picture of light or sun at the horizon. A vav and a lamed. It can be a vibration, an energy, his voice. Remember, we have his voice, that energy, that light, that power in Genesis 1:1 with the aleph and the tav. And when it goes into 1 and 2 and 3, where it talks about the fluttering or vibration, this word kol can mean the gathering of the light. And has a picture of the lamed, of a shepherd's staff representing authority, and that he's gathering his staff, which is a rod of correction, or it can be a rod of protection for his sheep that hear his voice and who obey. Remember at the wedding supper, the gentleman who could not get in or was cast out because he did not have the proper wedding garment. If you study the scriptures from Genesis to Revelations, you will find that the wedding garment is linen, white linen for the bride. You see it again in Revelations where it says the ordinance for the bride and the saint is to wear white linen. So when we look at this word kol, or his voice, or his light, he uses it during the day, or the light of Yom, the day of Yahuwah, the day of the Lord. He's gathering his living stones to reflect his light. But that same light or fire will consume the enemies and those who are wicked. In Zephaniah 1:18, it says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day, the light of Yahuwah and his wrath. The whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell on the land. Remember Psalm 37, where Yahweh says, I will bring forth thy righteousness as the noonday sun. So let us quickly look at a few of the properties of linen and how it might apply to an atomic war, or the heat, or the fire, or the scorching of the sun, or the light and energy, or burning, consuming fire of Yahuwah. Aside from the fact that linen reflects light and conducts electricity, taking heat away from the body, like it did for the Kohen, linen has been found to reduce gamma radiation nearly by half and protects the human organism against solar solar radiation, and the flax fiber from contaminated soils appear not to exhibit even traces of radiation. Not to mention that linen possesses rare bacteriological properties, helping to resist fungus and bacteria and diseases. So think about that and think about these verses that we've just read. And join us again next week as we continue. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shemen. Shalom.
Gotta be seen. Learn how to make healing oils on your own. Grinding wheat and storing food.